Amen. We're continuing in our series, Help, Thanks, Wow. And if you can't tell, this week we're looking at wow. And we need to come back to that place where we regain our wow in life. And I think many times we've lost that. And God wants us to experience the wow. Remember, our whole focus on this series has been entering in to the life that God wants us to have through prayer. And we're simplifying prayer. We've simplified prayer down to really three simple connections to God: help, thanks, and wow. And we've looked at Psalm 16:11, that there's this promise that God gives us that says, "You will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And if that's true about God, that when we come into God's presence, that's where we find joy and pleasure, then we need to have a desire to enter into his presence. And how do we enter into his presence? But these three things that we incorporate into our life. First of all, we enter into his presence when we realize we need his help. See, too many times we think we can fix it ourselves. And if we continue to fix our own life and we just directed ourselves without this idea that we need help, we're never going to enter into his presence. We need to have a desperation about us. It is when we get desperate to find him that it says, "You will find me." It says, "When you seek me with all your heart, I'll be there." And too many times we don't experience the joy and the pleasure because we're not desperate for him. We're finding it other places, and those feelings that we find other places leave us empty, because the joy of this world is short-lived. It leaves us empty and is gone. But not only do we need to be desperate and cry out for help, but we need to have a new perspective of thanks. And we looked at last week that thanks is not just about being thankful for something. It's not just about giving a card of, "Oh, thanks," and remembering what someone has done for us. But being thankful is really about a perspective of seeing life. It's more about valuing what is really there. And when we begin to see through the eyes of God, we begin to see life in a different way. A thankful heart is one that sees even the hardships of life in a different perspective. And we talked about changing our perspective, that we see things in a new light, that we see things in a way that God sometimes is doing things that we are not aware of. And so a heart that just begins to value God, that just begins to have faith that, "God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust that you do. And I believe that you are working something great, even though right now it looks hopeless, or maybe I'm feeling the pain of life, but yet I am trusting that, God, you see it differently. That the only reason I'm in this place is because I only see it from this direction, but I know that God sees it better." And when we begin to see life in that way and enter into God's perspective, there's a connection of trust and faith that brings us into God's presence. Well, today we are looking at the third way of connecting to God, and that is a way not just of perspective, but of awe. We need to begin to regain our wow. When we begin to see not life in a different way, but we begin to see God in a different way. We need to begin to be reintroduced to the wonder of who God is. And how many know that you've met those people that maybe you've watched the Lego movie, and there's the one guy that everything is just awesome. Everything is awesome. You know, this sandwich is awesome, and everything is awesome. And you meet those people that it almost makes you sick. It's like, okay, we get it. Everything's great. But yet on the opposite side, we begin to be the people that all we see is cynicism. "Well, it may seem awesome, but I'm sure there's something behind there that's going on. right? We don't even trust when things are good because we've lost our ability to see things good. We all had a friend, some of us that have known him. He's moved away for a while, but when we were in El Centro, our good friend Joe. And Joe was the one that, man, every time he talked to me, it was, praise the Lord, it's good to see you today, and everything. I mean, you know, he's the one that he would smack his thumb with a hammer and say, glory to God, you know. We're like, oh, come on, Joe, come on. It's, you know, you're like, does it have to be everything? And yet, even though sometimes we get like, that's over, and yet we need to come back to that. Because there's something that we've lost, and we've gone the other route, and how many know we know the other people that are totally to the other extreme? Man, they get a bonus at work. They get a pay raise and a promotion. It's like, oh, that means probably my car's going to break down, and I'm going to have to pay for that. It's like, well, you just got an extra $100, so at least it didn't cost you. But no, they always see the bad side. You know, we need to look at where do we fall. Sometimes, hopefully, we're somewhere in the middle there. But at Christmas time and Thanksgiving time, when we lose that wow factor, what happens is we slowly disconnect from God. And God just becomes that place in our life. And it just becomes that routine that we go through. And in fact, when we lose that awe of who God is and the wonder of what God has done, it opens up a door for even the enemy to come in, and the greatest thing that happens turns into depression the next day. And we fall into discontentment. And even though the little blessings that God does for us, we take for granted. It's nothing, no big deal. We become desensitized from it. And we know the great story in 1 Kings. We looked at Elijah in week one of the series, and we looked at how he became desperate for God. And in his desperation, God led him to the cave that God showed himself to him. But in the desperation and the depression that Elijah was going through, we understand that that happened just one day after this great experience that Elijah had this showdown with the pagan priests of his day, and they were saying, Elijah, your God isn't even real, and we don't even believe in your God. And Elijah said, okay, well, let's prove and see whose God is really alive and whose God is really real. And so they both built an altar, and we know the story that Elijah said, you build your altar and you pray to your God, and we're going to put the sacrifice on both altars, and whichever God comes down and consumes the sacrifice and lights the fire and takes it, that's who God really is. And so he let them go first, and they prayed and they cried, and nothing happened. And Elijah kind of taunted them, oh, where's your God? You know, where's it? I thought your God was going to do these great things. And so they did it again, and they actually, it said they began to cut themselves and chant and go through all of these great administrations that nothing happened again. And no matter what they did, nothing happened. And so then Elijah said, okay, I'm going to pray. And he said, right before I even pray, let's do something else. And he poured gallons and gallons of water over the altar and over the sacrifice to soak it, to make it even more dramatic. He said, we're going to see who's God. And then he just prayed a simple prayer. And he said, God, show them that you are real, that you might reveal yourself in power to this land who once knew you. And we know that God sent down the fire from heaven and utterly consumed not only the sacrifice, but licked up all the water, dried it out, and showed himself mighty. So a great man. If we had been there, would you not be in awe? It would have been like, wow, God. You know, we pray for God sometimes not even expecting him to answer. We pray great prayers, but it's like, we don't even think he'll show up. And yet if he actually does, it's like, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting that. And so Elijah has just experienced this awesome revelation of God and seeing this. But yet the very next day, He's running for his life. Now, why is that? After seeing this great thing, was this not a great example of who God is? And yet, to Elijah, he had lost the wow factor that even when God did this great thing, it was like, yeah, you're God. I expected that. And he had begun to take God for granted. And you know, we might say, well, God has not shown up in my life in this great fiery revelation, but yet God is doing things in our lives all the time. And yet we are just walking away. And the next day we are in depression or frustration or stress. I'm stressing out. And God is saying, I'm trying to show you who I am. And yet we are just simply missing who he is. And so today I want us to look at a portion of scripture of a man who did not lose the wow factor, but he came back to that wow factor. And we're going to turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. And before we do that, a little background of this. Habakkuk was a prophet was before the captivity of Israel, and he was crying out, you know, how many of us do this? God, look around me. Why are all the bad people profiting and doing great, and it seems like those of us that love God and are trying to serve you, it seems like everything goes wrong, and we sure aren't doing well. And he began to cry out to God, and for the first two chapters, he brought his cry to God and sought, and God showed him what he was going to do, that he was going to bring a wicked nation, the Babylonians, to come and bring his judgment upon the people of Israel who had forgotten who he was, and that he was going to do wondrous things to not only judge, but in that judgment was going to bring salvation, was going to bring a purifying act that would bring them back to what God wanted. And through this process, he was going to create a new people. And so we see this last chapter, which is the prayer and the song of Habakkuk. And as we look through this, I want us to look where we need to recover a new vision of God. And we need to find a new awe of who God is. And so as we do this, we're going to go through this and begin to find our focus that we can begin to recover our wow factor of God. So let's start in verse 1 of Habakkuk. It says, this is a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. He cried out, O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. And this word fear is not just the word for trembling, the word for being terrified, but it's a fear of awe. God, I have returned to an awe of who you are. I've heard and I've looked into the word of God and I've begun to enter into your presence again, and I have returned to this fear of awe, of wonder of who you are as you have revealed yourself to me. I am in awe of you. In the midst of the years, revive it, which is who you are. In the midst of the years, make it known. And even in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Selah, which means think about that. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hands, and there he even veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and he shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low, and his were the everlasting ways. The first thing that Habakkuk stood in awe of God is that he remembered the presence of God in creation. Habakkuk said, I am standing in awe of you, God, because I look around, I see the hills, I see the deserts, I see that your presence is in all the earth. The whole earth is filled with your praise. And I think it starts there that we need to begin to just start and step back. And in the midst of our life that is busy and is filled with burdens and responsibilities, we need to stop and just look around us. You see, we still live in a world that God has created. And do we stop and, like the old song said, just smell the roses? Do we just stand in awe, even in the morning, on Monday morning, another journey to work, as we walk out to the car to start it, to just stop and feel the crisp air? Say, God, the change of the seasons, the clouds in the sky, they shout the presence of God. We need to begin to simply experience that God is there. When we see the grass, when we see the cactus and the dust, God is in the presence of all creation. The wonder of the simplicity and the amazement of simply a grain of sand, and the wonder of the crystals that form that. Do we realize that I don't care what the scientists say, and they've tried to reproduce it, they cannot reproduce it by chance, the wonder of creation. It was not by chance and evolution that these things happened. In fact, it is by chance and mutation that only death and hurt and pain happen. But it is the wondrous God that is able to create the complexity of the most simple thing that we take for granted. We need to come back to the awe of who God is. Habakkuk says that I see even the rays of light, and I know that they come from your hand. The fact that the sun comes up in the morning and the moon rises in the evening, do we stand in awe of who he is? He even looks at pestilence and plague. Do you even realize, I know that they cause pain and we go through the death and sorrows, but the scientists even said the most miraculous beings are when we look at the small viruses and germs, how meticulously organized they are. Because even in our sicknesses, we see the glory of God. That God shows himself in every area. We need to come back to the awe of his presence. And it's not just creation, but that he is present in his creation. When we look at ourselves, we are not random things of this world. You are precious. You are planned. You have a purpose, and God is there with you every moment. He did not create you to leave you alone. He walks with you, even in the midst of your valleys, even in the midst of your doubts and your chaos. God is there. You are not alone. You may think he has forgotten you, but he is causing all things to work together for good. You may not see it now, but you will stand before him one day and say, God, look what you have brought me from. And you will stand amazed at him. We need to come back to the wow of God. But it's not just the presence of his creation. He goes on. We pick up in verse 8. And he says, was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea when you rode on your horses and your chariot of salvation? He's talking about thinking about the Red Sea that opened up and destroyed the Egyptian army. We think of the waters that came around the world that destroyed the world and the flood. And yet even in his wrath, we see that it was salvation, that Noah was saved, that the children of Israel went through. He says, you stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped at the flash of your glittering spear. We remember the story when the sun stood still while the children of Israel fought so that they might gain the victory, and yet God worked in nature. He says, you marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. What is he remembering? He said, in all of these things, he is in awe at the power of God's work. You know, we look at the things that are happening today and we see the destruction of the fires going on right now. We've seen over and over things that happen in the world, and yet these are all the work of God. We need to stand in awe at the power of God's work. We may not understand what God is doing, but yet God over and over tells us that my plan is sovereign. And that as he works, there is power, that there is wrath, that there is judgment, and that God will even use nature, or God will use nations to accomplish his plan. There is a plan of God to bring us to justice. Many times we look at our life and we say, well, I've seen no justice. You know, people have wronged me and gotten away with it, and we feel the hurt of the wrongs or the betrayals that go on. And yet we need to look around the world and see the power of God working. And that even though we don't see it in our life, this is a reminder that God's justice in its time will take place. And we need to stand in awe of the power of God. We need to tremble. We need to understand that there is a God of justice, that there is a God that we will answer to. And it is his power that brings us to that place of fear and respect and awe of him. Habakkuk saw how God had used political events and nations and saw that God was working in ways that we could not even understand. And we look at our world, we look at our nation, and we may not understand, you know, why is God doing these things? And we see a rise of violence, and we see conflict between people and genders and races, and yet we need to stand in awe that God is using all these things to bring things about, that he is moving the pieces of this world to redeem us and to redeem creation. And we need to simply stand in awe that even though we don't understand right now, there is coming a time when it is all going to work out. There is a purpose behind this. And so Habakkuk, instead of being cynical, instead of being saying, I don't understand what you're doing, he stepped back and said, wow, God, you are working in this world. Even the things that seem chaotic and seem destructive, they are a sign of your power at work. They are a sign of your justice going forth. But it's not just justice that he saw. He stood at awe at the purpose of what God was doing. And we pick it up in verse 13. And he says, you went out. And he saw not just for wrath, but for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who have invaded us. You see, in the midst of the chaos of his life, he saw the plan of mercy. You see, he was in a place where God was using the Babylonians to come and destroy the people of Israel. And yet he was using that destruction to set up the fact that he would restore and transform and recreate his people. You see, even when we look around the world, and it may seem like God has left us, we need to stand in awe that God is using this stuff that doesn't make sense to us, and yet he is using it to destroy themselves. He is going to use these things going on around the world to bring mercy and to bring redemption to our life. We need to simply step back and watch God work and trust in the plan of his mercy. Do we stand in awe that God is working a plan to save us, to redeem us? Because through it all, we can see that the cross and what God has done has set forth the hope that no matter what we go through in this life, it is bringing us to a place of purity and inheritance when the end of all of this is sifted out. It's kind of like to get the grain of wheat, the flour to make sweet bread. It only comes through a threshing. It comes through a trampling. Things have to be trampled before you can get that kernel out of the wheat. And you see, what we are going through right now is not something to be afraid of. It's not something to step back and say, this world is worthless. It's a matter of we're going through a trampling, we're going through a threshing, and out of it, God is going to bring the inheritance of our redemption. And instead of giving up and feeling, you know, overwhelmed, we need to stand at awe that God is still in control, that God is bringing my salvation. But are we willing to see it? Are we willing to come back to that, wow, God, in the midst of these days, I still see your work. You are still working in my life. And like Habakkuk, we may be trembling. We may feel like we're dying in the midst of it. But he said, I'm waiting quietly for the day because I know that God, one day, is going to call me home. He is going to bring to pass that victory that those that come against us now are one day going to be crushed. Because his plan of mercy is not only one of deliverance, but it is going to be one of defeat for those that have come against us. Those things that we seem to face right now, we can understand that God will bring us through. But we need to come back to that sense of awe that God is at work in all the things around us. The final part of his prayer, as we pick up in verse 17, is awesome. Even after seeing God's presence in nature, seeing God's power even through the wrath and the fury of disasters and tragedies, after seeing his plan of mercy and salvation, which sometimes doesn't make sense to us, but in the midst of that, Habakkuk comes to this realization. He says in verse 17, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Basically, he says, I will just stand and say, wow. In the midst of everything that's going on, I'm still going to say, wow, to my God. Why? Because God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me to even tread on my high places. This is written to the choir master with stringed instruments. You see, he stood in awe of God because he saw the provision that God gives for perseverance. He is at awe of God that, God, you give me strength to even make it through these hard times. That even in the midst of everything going around me, I can find peace at night because my God is with me. I am at awe, God, that you give me strength to walk above all the things around me. You see, other people give in and they let the things of life just bury them. But Habakkuk said, because I am in awe of you, God, you give me feet like deer to walk, even in the rocky, hard areas of life. You give me perseverance. We stand in awe that God gives us the ability to make it through. You see, the things in life, they can either do one thing. They can either make you bitter or they can make you better. It is when we stand in awe of God that instead of letting life crush us, it actually brings us above everything. We can be like Peter and walk on the water in the midst of the storm. That even though we are, it says, being led like lambs to the slaughter, yet I can rejoice because nothing can separate me from the love of God. You see, you can do whatever you want to me. You can take away my money. You can take away my health. You can crush my hope. You can't take away the love of God that I know that God is working in me. And when I understand that there is an awe of who God is, are you at awe of the provision that he has for you? Many times we're like, well, I don't see God doing anything. Then we need to trust his plan. We need to step back and let him be God. He said to the children of Israel, be still and know that I am God. Come back to your awe. Come back to your wow, because God is good. It is true, life is hard, but God is good. Do we see the beauty of God even in the darkness of this life? Let's be like Habakkuk. Because when we come back to the wonder of who God is, yes, things are hard in this life. Yes, things don't make sense, but God knows why, and he's working in that. And so therefore, I can accept those things. I'm just going to be at wonder at my God. That my God loved me enough to send his son to die for me. That my God loved me enough to put me through this time so that I can come out stronger and purified and greater. That he loved me enough to speak into my heart, to give me his word, that I might know him, that I can every day spend time in his presence. I am in awe that God just wants to be with me. And you see, that gives us perseverance, that no matter what happens in this life, I can stand in awe of God. And you know what? People may say what they said there. Are they crazy? Yes, we're crazy. But you know what? I'd rather be crazy with God than to give in to this world. We may look crazy, like in the midst of everything falling apart, we will stand and worship God and we'll have a smile on our face and we will love people that hurt us and we will love those around us. But it's because we know who God is and we have come back to the wonder of who he is. And when we do that, you see, that's the simplicity of prayer, that we simply see God for who he is and say, wow. And when we do that, we come into his presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand is pleasure forevermore. Not because of this world, but simply because we've come back to the wow of who God is and that he is worthy of our praise. Let's bow our hearts. God, I pray that we would be like